Well, thank you, Brother June, for that reminder that our God is God indeed, not just in name, but in fact, and a good reminder that he does have everything in control. Well, if you have a copy of the scriptures this morning, and I hope you do, turn in your New Testament to the book of Hebrews. And our scripture reading today is just going to be one verse, but it's a verse well worth turning to, as all of them are, but we're going to read one verse, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Wait till everybody gets it there. And I'll be reading out of the New International Version, but you can just follow along in the one that you have. And if you're willing and able, would you please stand for the public reading of God's holy and inspired word as we find it here in Hebrews chapter 13 and just one verse number 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for this a privilege that we have this day to gather together as your people to come and to pray to you, to sing praises to you, and to be reminded that you are our perfect and eternal and unchangeable and sovereign God. We thank you for loving us and for calling us to yourself and even for bringing us here to this place. And we would ask for your smiles upon it. Truly, Lord, might your spirit move us today to so worship you acceptably. And I pray this in the name of your Son who lived for us and died for us. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I don't know if you are an up-to-date kind of a person or not. Some people are. Some people aren't. Some of us like to keep up with all of the trends, be with it, with our fashions or how we decorate our house or whatever. Sometimes I've found out that once you start to remodel, by the time you get it done, you're already out of date. Maybe it's just because it takes 10 years to do it. I don't know in my case. But you know, some people are really up to date. Do you try to keep up to date with the technology of our day? I mean, it's just ever changing and it is so fast. And, you know, I was wondering, you know, what was wrong with Windows 2000? You know, I mean, why you got to keep on having something new and improved? But one thing that I do like to keep up to date on is the news. I don't know if you're a news junkie. I'm kind of a news junkie. Well, Facebook was in the news this last week. Any of y'all on Facebook? I'm not. You know, I tell you I'm not, and you know why? Because to me, Facebook, that's the high school yearbook. You open up a real book, you look, it has faces in it. I mean, that's a Facebook. But you know, I'm just really not up to date. But in our day and age, things are always changing, always updating. And it does seem as I feel like I'm a little obsolete and maybe behind the curve with what is new and improved. But change, rapid change in many cases, is just part of our existence as human beings, especially here in the 21st century. Adaptation, invention, improvement, mutation, change, that is just something that's part of our life. But today, it is my privilege to come and to talk to you about something that is firm, something that is solid, something that's not a part of the shifting sands, something that is immovable and immutable, to talk about something that does not change, something that actually stays the same, so you can count on it. And really, it's not a something that I am going to talk about. It is a someone that is and remains the same. You know, in this constantly changing world of ours, Jesus Christ is a constant. In this shifting and swirling and unstable and ever-changing world, Jesus Christ is the one solid anchor for the soul that you can put your hope in. He is unchanging. He is the same as our verse yesterday, today, and forever. And so today I would just like to look at the first six words of this verse here in Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Now today I want to talk about yesterday, and maybe Lord willing next time we will talk about today. But today we're going to talk about yesterday. And so let's just look at it here. Let's just take the words as they come in Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. And the first word is Jesus. Jesus. Our name's important. We all got different names. And what's in a name? The book of Ecclesiastes tell us that a good name is better than fine perfume. That there's something about a good name. And here we have a name, Jesus. We sing the song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. I mean, it's a name, but it is a name that often gets cursed in our world, is it not? This name here, but it is a name that is a wonderful name. The book of the prophet Isaiah says that this son that was born, his name is wonderful. The wise man in the book of Proverbs, as he was observing nature and he was looking at nature and he was thinking about, you know, there's got to be a God, and he wonders, what is his name and the name of his son? What is the name of the Son of God? He could look at the stars and the sun and the clouds and the trees, and he goes, what is God's name and what is his son's name? We have it right here. His name is Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 11, it says that God highly exalted his son, and he gave him a name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, everything will bow, whether in heaven or earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is a great name. And whether people curse him or whether they confess him, it will not change the fact that they will all bow to him, because that is his name. But who gave him this wonderful name, this first word in our verse, Jesus? I mean, where did he get this name? Well, if you remember, it was actually given by the angel in Matthew chapter 1, when the angel came to Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, in a dream, and before he was born, and he says, don't worry about taking Mary as your wife. The babe that is in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The name, the word Jesus literally means Jehovah saves, Yahweh saves. It means he is God and God alone saves. That is what his name means. He's given this name because he will save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. And 40 days after his birth, when his parents take him into Jerusalem, and this old man, a Simeon, sees him and he picks him up in his arms and he says, Lord, now I can depart in peace. Now I can die because I have seen the Lord's Christ. I have seen your salvation. He sees Jesus, and so he sees salvation because Jesus is salvation. If you have Christ, you have salvation because he is Jesus. The Lord saves. Jehovah saves. That is his name. And names are important. And so, Jesus. But it's not just a Jesus here. It's Jesus Christ. Now Christ is from the Greek. It's a Greek equivalent for the Hebrew word for Messiah. Christ and Messiah, it's the same, just depending on what language it was in. But literally, it just means anointed one. It is the one that was set apart, the one that was anointed, like in the Old Testament, they would anoint a prophet, the guy who was specifically set aside to bring the words of God. They might anoint him with oil, or the priest, when the high priest would come and, you know, Aaron took his position, they would go and they would anoint him with oil, or when, you know, King David or whatever king, when the guy was to become king, they would come and they would get the anointing oil, the special oil, and they would pour oil all over him and picture to everybody else that this guy is set aside from all the other guys to do this office. He is the anointed one in a lowercase way. Well, Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one by God to be the prophet, to be the priest, to be the king. He is the one set aside and separated from everybody else out of all humanity to be the ruler and the savior, because Jesus is the Christ, the one. I mean, when he was born and the angels go to the shepherds and tell him about the great news about the babe being born, he says, because this one born is Christ the Lord. He is Christ. He's not just Jesus, but he is Jesus Christ, the one set aside, the unique one. And for Jesus to be the Christ means that he is the only one. He is the only Savior, because Jesus is Jesus Christ. I have a friend who's an unbeliever. And he says he believes in Jesus a little, and his saying is, you know, I think Jesus is a good option. You know, there are a lot of options out there in the world. I mean, we got options everywhere, right? You know, when it comes to religion and, you know, how a person is to get to heaven. You know, he says I think Jesus is a good option. Well, his Jesus might be a good option, but can I tell you that Jesus Christ is the only option? Because he is the Christ. That's what it means for him to be Christ. He's the one anointed and set apart. There's no one else like him, and so he is incomparable. Because he is Jesus. God saves, and he is the Christ. If you're going to be saved, it's got to be in him. Because he is the Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says that there is no other name under heaven given to men by where we must be saved. There is no other name. Muhammad's not going to do it. Allah is not going to do it. Buddha, Confucius, whatever name you want to come up with, none of them are the Christ. There's no other name. There's no other person set aside to be the prophet, to tell us things about God, because he is God. And so, you know what? He can tell us about God. That there's no one else to be the priest and to represent us to God, to be our go-between and our representative. He's the Christ, the one anointed to represent us to God. He's the King, the Lord. Jesus is Lord because he's the Christ. He's the anointed one to rule over us. And he's the Savior because that's what his name means. And he is the only one. Only Jesus is the Christ. It's interesting in John chapter 10 and about verses 7 to 9, Jesus is talking about him being the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd of the sheep. He goes on to say he lays down his life for the sheep. But as he introduces himself as the good shepherd, he says something very intriguing. He says, you know, I'm the good shepherd. And he says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. That's quite an exclusive statement. Here, Jesus, the Christ, says, okay, I'm the door, I'm the way, and everybody else is a thief and a robber. Muhammad is a thief and a robber. Allah is a thief and a robber. Confucius, a thief and a robber. Buddha, a thief and a robber, because Jesus is the Christ. He says, I am the way, I am the gate, and if you're going to get there, you've got to get there through me. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And do you know this claim of Jesus being the Christ? And that's why they killed him. He claimed to be the Son of God and the Christ, the only way. And that exclusivity of Jesus' claim, I mean, the world really has a difficult time with. I mean, you talk to someone, and as long as you say, you know, Jesus is a good option, you're fine. But you say Jesus is the only option? And I mean, they will rail against that. But that is the claim of Jesus Christ. And can I say that this claim, that Jesus is the Christ, doesn't change with our time? Just because it's the 21st century doesn't mean that this claim that Jesus is the Christ has now changed. He is the Christ, and that remains the same. It does not change. It is the same yesterday. It is the same today. And it will be the same forever. Because Jesus is the Christ. That will never mutate. It won't change because Jesus is the Christ. He is the same. That's the one thing you can count on. And so what does it say? It says, Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus, this one whose name means Jehovah saves, he is the Savior. And not only is he just a Savior, he is the Savior because he is the Christ, the one person set aside from all the other people that have ever existed. This is the one guy. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the one. And it says he is the same. I mean, think about that. In our changing world, you know, I mentioned my Facebook, you know, open up the yearbook and I look at my face. There's been some changes, right? But can I say Jesus Christ is the same in his essential person? As an eternal person, he has never changed. I mean, think about that. It's mind-boggling. In fact, let's just flip over. You're in Hebrews. Let me just read a little bit from Hebrews 1. And just listen to this a little bit. Hebrews 1, and I'll just read verses 8 and following. And this is talking about God the Father, but about the Son, he says, this is what God the Father says about God the Son. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. The scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. It's kind of interesting about Christ's reign. He's in control. Is he ever going to lose control? No, because God said, your throne's going to last forever. In that song, kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name, because that name will always rule. And it goes on, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Again, he's the anointed one. He's the Christ. And he also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Christ created all this. They will perish, but you remain the same. They will all wear out like a garment, but you will roll them up like a robe, and like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. Jesus Christ is the same, as he has always been and as he will always ever be, because he is the eternal, immutable God. Can I remind you this morning that Jesus Christ did not begin in Bethlehem? That was not the beginning of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, even the prophecy about that in Micah 5:2, where he says, you know, Bethlehem, you Ephratah, you're not little among the towns of Judah, but the one will come to you whose goings forth are from old, from eternity, because Jesus Christ is the same. He does not change. The name that God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, you know, remember Moses asked God, God, what's your name? And God says, I am. That's my name. I am. Not I'm going to be, or not I will be. I am. I'm eternally self-existent, unchanging. I am. And you know, Jesus claimed that same name in John chapter 8 and verse 58, and he was telling the people that were arguing with him, and he said, listen, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. They're like, what do you mean? You've seen Abraham, or Abraham knew. You're not even 50 years old, and you know something about Abraham? And Jesus says, no, before Abraham was, I am. You go back 2,000 years to Abraham, I was way before Abraham, because I am. And they picked up stones to stone him, because Jesus made this claim, I am the Christ, and I do not change. As the prophet Malachi says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. James tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of heavenly lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning, no change, no ripple, because He is eternally and perfectly the same. You know, our comic book heroes always have a lot of change going on. You know, I mean, the turtles were just a regular turtle, and something happens, and boy, they're something special now. They weren't special before. You just stick them in the aquarium, you know, but now they're special. You know, and then, oh, what happens if they turn bad? I mean, what happens if Superman goes bad, or Superman hits the kryptonite? You know, what happens if the mutated superhero changes to good, and then he changes to the bad? You see, our comic book heroes are always changing. They're getting stronger. They're getting smarter. They're getting wiser. Or maybe they're getting worse. Whatever it is, they're constantly in flux. Constantly in change. And so constantly undependable, because you don't know what the change will bring about. What if they get the kryptonite? Can I tell you, Christ has no kryptonite? Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I tell you, but by way of application, this is so encouraging to us, because we do not have a fickle friend and redeemer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever have a friend or a loved one, and maybe their affections for you changed? Oh, wow, you know, I thought they were my best friend, and they stabbed me in the back, or now they're not my friend anymore. I go through that yearbook, and boy, there's a lot of people that signed my yearbook, and, you know, it's been years, and I hadn't heard a thing from any of them, and I hadn't called them. We're all kind of fickle friends, because, boy, we're changing, life changes, and all that. Does that apply to Jesus Christ? You know that He says if He loves you with what kind of a love? An everlasting love. But when you were young, did you ever play the game, you know, you had a crush, and you get the flower, you know, she loves me not. She loves me not. You go around, she loves me, she loves me. You know, you wonder, what's it going to be today, right? We don't have to play that game with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the same, and if He sets His love upon you, it is an everlasting love, and that love will never change. Neither height nor depth or angels or principalities or anything in all of creation, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We sing the song, and great is thy faithfulness. Thou changest not, and thou compassions, they fail not. Because He doesn't change. And the immutability of Christ is something that should be very comforting to us. So Jesus Christ is the same, and then let's end on this word here. He is the same yesterday. And I think this is very, very important, because the message about Jesus, it's not just Jesus Christ Himself, but the message about Jesus is also unchangeable, and it is immutable. It is the same, and it doesn't change, and it lines up with the message that has always been and that always will be. I mean, there may be new improvements to Microsoft Windows, you know, and maybe my XP doesn't work anymore, but I got to upgrade. you know, or there's always upgrading and the new and improved and you know, all these things that we've got to get better at. But when you have the gospel in Christ, which is perfect and the best, there is no getting better. And it's the same one that it has always been. You know, we don't bring a new and improved message and a new and improved gospel, but it is that old time religion. It is the one that is the same yesterday. It's the same one. I tell you, the gospel that I preach ought to be the same gospel that was preached yesterday and the day before yesterday and last decade and 50 years ago and 100 years ago. It's the very hope of all of history, that the same gospel that Moody and Spurgeon preached should be our gospel. Because it doesn't change. The same gospel that moved Hudson Taylor to go to China, that is our gospel. Or the Adoniram Judson, and he goes to Burma, that's our gospel. Or William Carey to India, or whatever, that moved these missionaries, that is the same gospel, because it's the same yesterday. I mean, it's the same one even before our nation, even before America. Was there a gospel? Oh, yeah. It's the same gospel. It's the same gospel that George Whitefield preached here before we were even a nation, or Jonathan Edwards, or Martin Luther preached, or there in North Africa where Augustine preached. It's the same one, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. It's all the same because Christ is the same. It's the same one that we find in the New Testament. The hope of the New Testament, of the Apostle Paul that turned him from Saul to Paul on the Damascus Road, or his friend Silas. It's the same one that Peter and Andrew believed, or that Mary Magdalene believed when she saw the risen Christ on that first day of the week, or Lydia, the seller of purple, where the Lord changed her heart. It's the same one. It's the same one that met the woman at the well and the boy with the lunch and the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. It's the same one. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, there's a great continuity of the gospel because there's a continuity to Christ. He's a constant, and his message is a constant. And you see the same thing even in the Old Testament. Have you ever wondered how the people in the Old Testament were saved? Did they get saved any different? Did the Lord redeem sinners in the Old Testament time any different than he redeems us? No. They were redeemed the same way because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see the gospel way back in the Old Testament. In fact, right after creation in Genesis chapter 3, when God pronounces the curse on the man, the woman, and the serpent, and he tells, I don't know if he tells the woman or he tells the serpent, that the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. And so there's this great hope of the people of God that God would send the seed of the woman, the one that would come from the virgin, who would take care of Satan. And that's been the hope of the Old Testament time. Abraham, the man of faith, when he was sacrificing his son right before he did it, and he prayed, he said, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. And then the Lord did provide a lamb. And Jesus says, Abraham saw my day and was glad. What did Abraham hope in to be the man of faith? He hoped in the coming Christ, the coming Messiah, the coming seed of the woman, this one who was set aside, who would fix all of our sin problems. That was Abraham's hope. That was Jacob's hope when he saw the ladder going up to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending. How is it that man can commune with God? Jesus is that same Jacob's ladder. In fact, he mentioned it to Andrew. You're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending on me. Because that is the same hope. Because it is the same gospel. Because it is the same Christ. When they had the Passover lamb, and they slaughtered that lamb and put the blood, they said, if God's wrath is going to be pacified and pass over my house, I've got to have the blood of the lamb. The faith was not in the lamb, but in what the lamb pointed to, this Passover lamb that was to come, that John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God. That's the one. This is the guy, the one guy out of all of history, the one who is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday. The one like Moses. Moses said, God's going to send someone else like me. And he's going to tell you about God. The one who is the priest, the anointed to represent us to God. The one who is the king that is going to rule over us, a greater son than David. And when Jesus comes, hey, this is the son of David. This is the guy. This is the Christ. And it is the same. You see, there's the hope of the Old Testament as well as the hope of the New Testament. I tell you, the Old Testament hope was in the virgin son, Emmanuel. This son that was given, whose name is Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, and Jesus who will save His people from their sins. You see, all of it points and pictures Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why Jesus said in John 5:39, these are the scriptures that testify of me. Because there's all pointing to Him, because He's the one guy that doesn't change. So He's been the hope of history. He's been the hope of the New Testament, the hope of the Old Testament, going way, way back. Let me just end here on a personal note. Is He your hope? You know, it's one thing saying that Spurgeon hoped in Him, and Martin Luther hoped in Him, and Augustine hoped in Him, and Peter and Paul and Mary Magdalene hoped in Him, and King David hoped in Him, and Elijah and Elisha hoped in Him, and Daniel hoped in Him, and Abraham and Jacob, and they all, you know, Adam and Eve hoped in Him. But what about you? Do you hope in Him? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. I don't bring you something new and improved. Just that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. But is the old-time religion good enough for you? You know, times change, but Christ remains the same. I mentioned time. Do you know that our very calendar revolves around the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? Officially, this is the year of our Lord, 2018. Because our Lord was Lord in year one, or 500, or however long it goes. Is He your Lord today? I pray that He will be.